It's another episode of the Hopeless Fan Podcast, episode 2 coming at you. We're all in studio here in Cincinnati. Scotty and Zach are with me. Zach looks like Leo after he wrestled that grizzly bear in The Revenant because he just went through hell trying to eat his way to a top 3 fantasy draft pick. And Zach, can you tell us how you did?
I did not make it to the finish line. It was a close one. It all ended up falling apart in the bottom of the ninth. I thought I could squeak by, but you know, as it turns out, you know, maybe for the best, because getting the first round pick never ended up working out for me in the long run anyway. So.
Okay, we need to go over the terms of the bet, though, because, I mean, what Zach had to do was crazy in its own sense. And I actually thought by the time the bottom of the ninth rolled around that Zach was going to get it, because we went, what, 8 scoreless frames?
Absolutely, yeah. Zach had to eat 2 hot dogs for every run scored in the Reds-Padres game. We had all-you-can-eat seats, lovely seats, a burger for every double play, a slice of pizza for every double or triple, a barbecue pulled pork sandwich for every error committed, an order of nachos per hit batsman, and a snack of my choosing, or Scotty's choosing, per walk in the game. And he damn near pulled it out. So the game starts, Padres get 3 singles right away, they get a run. Zach, 2 hot dogs off the board, has a Caesar salad as my snack. Next inning, Freddie Galvis hits a home run for the Reds, 2 more hot dogs. 4th and 5th inning, 2 more hot dogs each. 3-1 Padres, and it stays that way.
I think Zach, listening to all this right now, is about to puke.
Yeah, he looks just god-awful. But 8 straight scoreless frames in the Reds-Padres game, and then bottom of the ninth happens. Ryan O'Grady almost hits his first career home run off of Yates, the Padres' closer. Gets caught at the wall, so then you're thinking, okay, 2 more outs. Then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
You're home free. 2 more outs. He's gone 8 frames.
2 more outs. The Reds haven't hit all night. Haven't hit all night against the Padres pitching. The Padres bullpen hasn't allowed a run in the 7th inning or later in the last 4 games.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Just pitching ungodly. And then with 1 out in the 9th inning, Freddie Galvis, who hit the home run earlier, who's Zach looks like right now with his hair, just all he's got the meat sweats going. It's dreadful. But Freddie Galvis singles to left field, and then Tucker Barnhart, a laser down the right field line. That's a double. So let me read you what Zach ate. What Zach ate going into the bottom of the ninth inning. He had a Caesar salad, an order of cinnamon bites, nachos with cheese and jalapenos, a piece of La Rosa's pepperoni pizza, a barbecue pulled pork sandwich, and a side of chips.
And
8 hot dogs.
Eight hot dogs.
Definitely got his money's worth. But with 1 out, Tucker Barnhart rips a double down the right field line. It's the Reds' only double of the night. Only double of the night. Barnhart rips it down the right field line. So right there, a piece of pizza is added. While he's getting ready to eat that piece of pizza, Josh Van Meter didn't start the game, comes in as a pinch hitter, singles to left field to plate Freddie Galvis to add 2 more hot dogs to Zach's ledger, and he called it quits. He couldn't do it. Those hot dogs, mind you, we had to wait. In the 7th inning, they stopped serving, so we gathered up enough food to you know, save just to cover us for the rest of the game. And
what
if?
Two-inning-old hot dogs.
Yeah, just sitting there.
Staring down the barrel at 2 disgusting hot dogs after having eaten
crusty buns.
Unfortunately, Zach didn't eat that double pizza, or else he should have, because the game could have ended and then he would have just had to eat that, you know, that one slice of pizza added. But he said he didn't want to eat the pizza if a run was going to score from third.
Right.
Which, kind of a coward move.
Kind of a coward move. Smart play, though, because we didn't catch him on anything beforehand. It wasn't like you had to eat it immediately, because Zach took his time.
It's also easy to sit in judgment when you didn't have to eat 8 hot dogs and all that other stuff.
I'd say that's fair.
We're good enough at fantasy as it is, but we don't need it. But, you know, the run scores, he has 2 more hot dogs, he just calls it quits. Just looking at him just had to be just so daunting to be like, I have to shove 2 more hot dogs with the crusty buns. Crusty buns for runs. Crusty buns for runs. Zach in the 9th inning.
That's what the streets say.
Yeah. And then the thing is, the Reds don't score again. Golden opportunity. Senzel grounds out. And then Suarez struck out to end the inning and the whole ballgame. But there was a hit batsman in between there. We could have got real dicey because we had no nachos to back us up. Zach,
you know what we did have?
What?
Cinnamon sticks.
We had cinnamon sticks as a snack in case someone walked.
Yep.
But nobody walked. I guess it would have had to be in the cinnamon sticks. But I would have probably called a bluff there. It would have had to have been nachos. We had to stick by it because it was nachos and the jalapenos.
That's good.
So much better than those three little...
Stop at our local Speedway.
Yeah, the three little cinnamon sticks. But it could have got real dicey there because Jose Iglesias got hit by a pitch. It would have made the nachos come into play. We didn't have any nachos. Zach probably could have called us that. We would have had to go to a Speedway, which would have given Zach enough time to kind of digest everything a little more. But crusty buns for runs at the end, Zach called it quits. And even after, we tweeted it out. Because Zach said, give me the hot dogs. He picked them up. And that's I already tweeted it.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you were going to give it a shot, weren't you?
Yeah, he's like, I
thought about it, and then it was too much.
By the way, at the Hopeless Fan on Twitter.
Yeah, at the Hopeless Fan. Follow it along.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug there. Had to be done. But, yeah, it's just so, like, if we were bookmakers right now, Vegas would give us a raise.
Oh, yeah.
Because we set that bet perfectly. Because how many games do you see, like, where it's 6-5 going into the seventh inning.
That's just grade A content.
Right. That would have been 22 hot dogs through six and a half innings. And Zach would have been done. He would have been calling collusion, calling just a terrible, terrible standards for the bet.
It would have just been boring in general for everybody.
Right. It would have been 6-5 in the seventh inning. We would have left. There would have been no point to even, you know, stay.
True.
If there was 11 runs scored and he had to eat 22 hot dogs, he couldn't have done it. True. He only got eight, barely a third of that.
And we made those guidelines kind of at the last spot. We're like, well, we have to add here, you know, something if, you know, someone walks or maybe. And then we added hit by pitch, which ended up being a huge thing.
Yeah, Aquino got hit by a pitch and Zach had to eat the cinnamon sticks. And that he told us, he's like, those bread and the sugar and the cinnamon, that just kind of got to you, right?
Yeah, I knew that those were going to play a factor down the stretch.
Zach, how do you feel right now?
Scale of 1 to 10.
I feel probably...
You don't look good.
I feel probably about a 2.
Oh, man.
That's just all sitting in my stomach like a rock. And I'm dehydrated because I was sweating so much from the walk from the stadium to where we are now. But I can't chug water because there's no room in my stomach for it. So it's just... it's not a good spot, but
that's rough.
I'll pull through.
Yeah, you think the competitive eaters have it bad. It's like, Zach, you got a taste of what Chestnut and all the greats go through, and they'd probably laugh at you right now.
Mad
respect to you for trying it. Because that's kind of the risk we took, because this game could have easily been over, you know, 10 or 11 runs in the sixth inning, or it also could have been 1-0. Trevor Bauer, and like to top it all
settled in.
Top it all off, the Reds struck out enough batters to give all of us free pizza for the next week. So you get a free La Rosa's pepperoni pizza, one topper, if you want it, Zach.
I don't think I want to eat pizza, or hot dogs for that matter, for the rest of my life.
Are you going to eat tomorrow? That's a stupid question.
When do you think is the next time you'll eat tonight?
Oh, I'm not eating. I'm not eating tonight.
You stop at Popeyes on the way home.
Oh God, I don't even want to think about food.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. But
it was fun. It was a good time. You know, I like you said, Shelby, we set that, you know, the whole bet up really, really good. I mean, to have it come down to the bottom of the ninth and also give the Reds a chance,
right,
you know, to win the game. Should've
won
cool.
The game. Yeah.
Bases loaded, Suarez struck out. You know, you hate to see it, but what you love to see is three guys who host a podcast having a great time, having an epic bet set that works out.
Yeah, not good content if this bet ends in the fourth inning, but we got it all the way down to the bottom of the ninth. How confident on a scale of 1 to 100 were you that you were going to get out of that scot-free? Especially, Ryan O'Grady hits a ball to the center field fence. The Padres center fielder catches it with his hand on the top of the fence. Almost a home run. Zach thought it was a home run. He's like, give me the hot dogs. And I was like, dude, he caught it. And you're like, no way.
Yeah,
and then everything breaks loose after that.
I thought that was my saving grace. I thought that was my silver lining.
Scale of
like,
1
okay,
to 100 when that was
somebody,
caught.
Yeah, somebody.
That was
is
the sweet hand
it.
Of Troy Smith in a Ravens uniform coming down to save you from that bet early in the night.
Somebody was watching out for us. For me, and that's what I thought was happening, but it didn't end up going that way. And sometimes that's just how sports goes.
Not to mention the Padres, their second run had a home run hit the foul pole.
Right.
Like how close that could have been
right.
to just not happening. And the Reds, Peraza dropped a ball in left field that probably should have been caught. It was an RBI double.
And then an error for a barbecue pulled pork sandwich that we didn't even think was going to be an error because it was a catcher dive in the foul ball territory.
We nailed that bet, Scotty and I did. It just to come down to the bottom, I can't restate enough.
You love to see it.
You love to see it.
The barbecue sandwich was the worst.
But anyway, Zach, we'll let you stop thinking about food for at least the next 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
We love you, Zach. Congratulations on the bet.
Clock of yours. But, man, what a warrior. He's gonna have a bottom three pick. I'm thinking the seventh or eighth pick in our draft. Because, Zach, I think if you had to pick what your worst what you would least want to pick in our fantasy draft, you'd probably think seven or eight. Like, it can't get any worse from you how bad you are in our league.
Yeah. I like to think that every year I go into with a little optimism. This could go either way.
You draft well, but what would you rather do, seven or eight?
Everyone loves their team after the draft.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love Zach's team after the draft. Yeah. And never lasts. Yeah, always bad at the end of the year somehow.
He always tries to pick my best player off of my team at the very beginning. But you know what? I think I'm going to have to go with a no trade policy this year because the trading has never worked out for me ever in the past.
Yeah, Scotty will trade like Thomas Rawls after a good game for like, you know, Stephon Diggs and like prime LeGarrette Blount.
Hey man, you never know. I just follow trajectories. That's all, you know.
Yeah, but Scotty's the king of that.
I'm a trade value master.
But that's for your reference, because in Zach, in our fantasy league, the for your reference, you sound smart in front of your friends. I don't know why your friends would care about how Zach does in our fantasy league, but it's still just interesting that Zach, in nine seasons in our fantasy league, he's 55-62 in the regular season. And in the playoffs, the consolation and the championship bracket, he's only 2-16. Yikes.
How many years in existence?
Those are Bengals numbers, right?
Yeah,
there.
We're going into our 10th season. I need to do something special. But I am doing something special.
Yeah.
I never get thanked for it. I get no appreciation. It's like my mom doing the dishes after dinner. She's like, no one helps me.
When you post those commission notes, that's when you get our appreciation.
I post the commission notes, but they've lost their luster. Everyone just like reads them and they're like,
might become LOL. The podcast now.
Yeah, it could. But Zach, 57-78 overall. And the thing is, since our league expanded to 10 teams in 2014, so that's five seasons, Zach has made the playoffs once and he's missed the playoffs the last 4 years. And in 9 years in our league, a lot of the years there was only eight teams in the league, and six of them made the playoffs.
The first six, right? The first 6 years.
The first four.
First four, okay.
First four were only at 18. He's missed the postseason five times in 9 years in our fantasy league.
Oh, my God.
And he's never won a playoff game in the championship bracket in the 4 years that he's made the playoffs in our league. How easy it is to do. Over half of our teams still make the playoffs.
Zach, how much agony are you just sitting there taking right now?
You know, it's never
fun. Does this hurt?
It's never fun to rehash your own failures, but
including tonight with the bet. Hashtag the bet at the Hopeless Fan.
Yeah, shameless plug. You know what? Nowhere. I just have to look at it. Nowhere to go but up, or nowhere to go but continuing on the same path.
Oh, so there's down.
Tell it to the scale. Well, yeah, Zach's finished last in our league because he ate a lot tonight.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Last in our league two out of the last 3 years, so there really is nowhere to go but up. You'll probably draft well. We'll think you have a good team, and then, like, week five happens, and Zach's like, I got screwed because this guy ran out of bounds, and then the guy from the Panthers, who's that big running back that was always for the Panthers?
Jonathan Stewart?
Not Jonathan Stewart. Ah, this is bad.
Mike Tolbert
ran in from the one, and Christian McCaffrey was on the bench the whole time. So I lost by 5 points and didn't get the touchdown from McCaffrey, and I lost.
You know who the two QB – so just for your guys' reference, we play in a two QB league, so all the QBs go in the first round. And so all the points, all the structure, everything's around, you know, having the best QBs on your team. The two QBs that Zach I can just see having every year are Cam Newton and Aaron Rodgers. Both get hurt, both blame, and Zach ends up with a Nick Mullins and a Marcus Mariota as his last week start.
Yeah, Rodgers and Newton, like, never injured at the same time and never have, like, dominant weeks at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Zach will be at the bottom of our total points. Sorry, Zach, this has turned into a roast. You hungry yet?
I feel like I've been put on a roast. Literally.
How about eat a roast? We don't fat shame.
That's all that you've been doing this entire night.
Cut this out.
Zach's wiping himself with a towel. He's literally throwing in the towel on himself. But anyway, guys, we do have a Monday Night Football reaction. Still yawning because it's preseason, whatever. But, you know, since it's technically Tuesday, we're only 16 days away from the NFL regular season. Bears-Packers.
Hey, you gotta love it. Hey, you know, and we got a little bit of Booger McFarland tonight.
We did at the 49ers Broncos. We didn't get to watch the game, but that's why they have box scores. And my favorite thing about it is that the Broncos quarterbacks, they do exactly what I want them to do. 19 for 38, 50% between Flacco, Hogan, and Locke. Scotty's got some breaking injury news. Not breaking, but breaking. It might be breaking. 102 yards, no touchdowns, a pick thrown by Kevin Hogan, who was a total of 5 for 15 and had a rushing touchdown. But so far, preseason games, Broncos quarterbacks, 58 for 106, 408 yards. They're averaging 3.84 yards per attempt. Two picks, two touchdowns. Perfect for my prediction for the regular season that the Broncos finish 8-8 because they're trying to win every game 17-13, 16-14. Ravens too, Zach.
If you're trying to win that way, Flacco's your guy.
You little play action, little play action to the tight end, to the fullback.
Mm.
Run it.
Janovich to the fullback?
Janovich is the fullback.
Like him.
Injured.
Oh.
6 to 8 weeks.
Oh.
Have a bruiser from Pitt, though.
Oh.
Remember the name.
I was supposed to remember the name of Juwan Thompson. Drafted him in fantasy in two leagues.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I was all in on
it. I played Vontae Leach in one game.
Shameless plug there on Vontae Leach.
Zach tried to vulture himself. He's like, I have Willis McGahee and Vontae Leach. Like, one of them might score. It's like, oh, Flacco bootleg. They settled for a field goal, and I don't have Justin Tucker.
Because Kenny stole him from me.
Yeah, exactly. But so good luck to Zach overall. And now we switch. You have more on the Broncos because your boy Drew Locke hurt, negative, but still hurt.
Still hurt. Hurt his hand, negative. Vic Fangio said injury mild post game. So, you know, breaking news, not breaking, but breaking. Couple other things. Big time return to the field for Emmanuel Sanders and Jimmy Garoppolo. Both haven't played since last year. Want to know how they did?
Is Emmanuel Sanders fighting? Now, actually, prayers up to him.
Is he fighting Cortland Sutton, at least?
How many fantasy points Sanders got me during the prime Manning Bronco years, I'll never be able to thank
him enough. He's still a top 2-3 wide receiver in fantasy.
Yikes. That's tough.
That's okay, that might be tough. But he's
Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler and, like, Paxton Lynch the last two or three
easy.
Years.
Look up. He's easy wide receiver 3 play.
Oh, you said top 2-3 wide receiver in fantasy.
Oh,
you mean he's a wide receiver one.
You mean on your team he's a wide receiver 2 or 3?
Yes.
Okay, but you said like you
right.
Said,
I get
like,
it. I understand
no,
that.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
he's
I
didn't end mean up it like that. Week 15. He's or 4-12 since we don't go.
Like, I would gladly take Sanders as my wide receiver 2.
I know Julio Jones doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, but he still has more fantasy points than Emmanuel Sanders.
I get that.
No. Okay.
Anyway, Jimmy Garoppolo 1 for 6. Look, booty.
Had a pick.
That's it. You know who else returned to the field tonight? Elite Joe Flacco.
Ooh.
Oh, is that from the food?
That's how that contract Flacco got after the
little
Super Bowl.
Yeah, little column A, little column B.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, from, you know, there's one team on the West Coast playing the 49ers. They won. They're 2-0. Preseason juggernaut. Bet them. Bet the Ravens. Ravens 14-game winning streak in the preseason. Yep. It's actually more than that. It's like 16 or 17.
Beat the Packers.
Bet Ravens, money line, everything you have, and the spread. Back to Hard Knocks because the Raiders are also on the West Coast. Peterman Glennon going to heat up this week. Tomorrow night. Tonight. Yep. Peterman.
Tuesday
you have to watch
night.
Episode 2. Zach's an episode behind, so don't let him act like he knows what he's talking
Zach,
about.
Right after you finish editing this entire podcast.
I will recuse myself from this Hard Knocks preview.
Yeah, but anyway, Glennon, and actually we need you for those stats.
Yep.
You're the stat man for this with Raiders.
Gotcha. Yep.
But Glennon, Peterman heating up because Glennon looks like the guy when we know Peterman's the guy, even though Derek Carr is not the guy, but the Raiders think he's the guy.
Oh, that's intellectual.
Intellectual.
Absolutely. You know, and I'll tell you what, Mike Glennon, great night. 11 for 14, 175, 2 touchdowns.
175.
Didn't even ask for the stats. All I said was, you're the stats guy for this. He starts reading them.
Tough take, Zach.
4 hot dogs for the 2 touchdowns. But anyway, get you some cons in you. But yeah, Glennon, Peterman, I'm so ready for more of this. Because we talked in the last episode how the Raiders need a quarterback battle, and we didn't even, like, we didn't expect it at the start of this. It needs to be QB2 instead of QB1, even though we know Peterman's a QB1.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, I'm pretty sure Nathan Peterman and Derek Carr combined for 10 for 10 for about, I don't know, 120 yards and a touch.
Peterman perfect. Back me up there, Zach.
He was 8 for 8, 41 yards. Derek Carr 2 for 2, 40 yards. So they combined 10 for 10 for 81 yards.
And a tutty for Carr.
That's correct.
Two tutties for Glennon.
That's correct.
Gosh, are the Raiders bike?
That's what I'm saying. Further backing up the point that I previously made, they need further to go with biking up the point. Two QB offense.
Zach, no.
No, okay, you want to know something funny? I listened to last week, and I asked the question. I was like, what's your take on the Antonio Brown helmet gate? And Zach's like, I think they need to start two quarterbacks. Like, that has nothing to do with it. He's like, this is my big conspiracy. I'm like, wait. It's like on the interview when Eminem comes out.
It all connects.
Yeah, I was like, no, I didn't get that, but it was hilarious because it goes into this big speech about how the Raiders are going to start two quarterbacks.
Zach, you're in my doghouse for that ignorant take.
You ain't having any dog treats tonight.
And not in the way you want it to.
I mean, come on. He goes, instead of naming a team who has a running quarterback to be a dual threat. Like, I like the take. I like the take. I think the NFL will eventually.
No, we got deep into the take last week. We said, that's, you know.
Yeah,
because I agree. The whole thing with Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
And you have two running quarterbacks. That'd be a nightmare for defensive coordinators. Because I said, I thought it was intellectual. I said, the nine or ten times you have to plan for Taysom Hill is time you don't spend on a future Hall of Famer and Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing is with future Hall of Famer Trace McSorley. And Lamar future. Jackson. Lamar Jackson.
Lock him
You're
in.
Telling me Nathan Peterman's not a future Hall of Famer?
Zach, come on. He's just Nathan Peterman's the guy in Oakland. Derek Carr doesn't deserve the reps. I mean, it's like asking Brock Osweiler
Glennon and Peterman.
Totally I'm going to kick you off.
Totally right? Joking.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm excited for the Glennon Peterman drama because you know Gruden's going to have great things to say about him. A tough take on Gruden for yelling at Peterman like that. Let him do his thing. The whole thing with the change of scenery being good for people, like, let it happen. It's been one game.
Yeah, I think that was all because it came out that it came out as such big news that he was I really liked the Peterman guy. You know, I think that because that got
he's
so much hype.
He's growing on me.
He's growing on me, right? Yeah. And I think that because that came out and had so much hype, he's like, I need to show the audience of Hard Knocks. That I really don't, right. That I, you know, I'm tough nose with him too.
Gruden saw that go viral. He's like, crap.
Right. Yeah. Gruden's not allowed to like anyone.
You know who isn't liking anyone is Mike Mayock. Because he came out flaming.
Stand.
Hot. Yeah. It is steaming up with that Antonio Brown stuff. And I don't want to get into all this helmet gate thing. Scotty coined that phrase.
I did. Yeah.
Scotty coined helmet gate.
Helmet gate.
Yeah.
Last episode. Look it up. Yeah. Try to disprove me.
No, he did.
You can't.
No one's going to disprove you. But Scotty coined helmet gate. And I'm ready for it just because I'm ready for it to end. And I'm just like, one of these helmets has to be fine for him. So I don't want to spend any more time on it. I'm at that point in Hard Knocks where something happens with the Raiders, and I'm not sure if it's going to be on the next episode of Hard Knocks or I'm going to have to wait like 9 days.
Right.
Which sucks.
Right. Now, like what they'll probably do, especially with the Mike Mayock thing just coming out like the last day or two, they'll be like, oh, at the very end of the episode, they'll tease and be like, wait to see what happens next in real life so you can watch it again on Hard Knocks.
Well, that's how I got HBO's. Well, like, I was going to get HBO because they thirst trapped me with Peterman's 50-yard run.
Right.
Would be the fourth longest run by a quarterback since 2015, for your reference.
Oh,
last
yeah.
week's for your reference. But Peterman's 50-yard run thirst trapped me into wanting to pay $14.99 a month for HBO.
Yeah, Nathan Peterman, biggest HBO salesman.
Right. So now they're going to thirst trap everyone else who got the link somehow for episode two. They want to see Mayock say that. And I want to hear just the backlash with all the, because it seems like there's so much more. It's every single day there's more Antonio Brown drama.
Yeah. And you know what the drama I didn't like in the episode?
What's that?
The rookie presentations.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about how bad that was.
Oh, I've never seen, you know, this year Hard Knocks is already cringy.
Right.
Already so much worse than the Browns season. And we hate Cleveland.
The Browns one was good.
It was good. It was really good. But this year, I don't know. There's times in Hard Knocks where, you know, the rookies will go up in front of everyone and do a little show or sing a little song, do a presentation as a, you know, a rookie show. Like, that's so good and clever.
The Ravens imitated Ray Lewis's dance.
Yeah. That was so good.
Imitated Shannon Sharp.
Right, yeah. The impersonation, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the Bengals did it. They were on it twice, and they did, like, impersonations of, like, they had Giovanni Bernard, like, pretend he was injured. Like, or they had a rookie receiver pretend he was injured, and like everyone just moved practice over like 10 yards. And then they had AJ Green get injured, like just like jam his thumb, and everybody, like all the medics came around him while the other guy was injured, like breaking his leg. Yeah, so that was funny. But these are just, they sing. There are two guys up there. I forget the defensive end's name.
And it's only two. Like, right. It's like, great. These, like, two.
There better be more. I would love to see another rookie show, but Gruden already banned, like, hazing, right? But they sing tracks
tough
with.
Tough take.
Tough take. They sing tracks with no, like, background music. It's so cringy. And they say their signing bonus. And, like you mentioned, the signing bonus. Just for one round difference between Renfro and the defensive end with a broken hand and tattoos.
From a fourth to a fifth round pick is like $350,000 difference.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Would suck. But six figures, I mean, if I'm signing my John Hancock on something and someone gives me six figures, I'm not complaining.
Right. Well, like, as a simpleton, I guess I'm just going to complain because I can. But I mean, like, I don't think that they should have to go up there and say their signing bonus. It's like, oh, look, yeah.
That's the extent of the rookie hazing that Gruden allows. Like, tell us how much money you made.
Yeah, like, Renfro, not only am I balding, but I also make significantly less than my fourth round pick in this class.
Real quick, talk about Derek Carr. You know, like, I don't think no one respects Derek Carr because, like, all, like, the rookie tight end who probably won't make the team is, like, joking about his oil on his arms. And then Hunter Renfro jokes about, like, hey, are you nervous? Like a mini squad thing. Like, these guys, like, do not care. Like, they joke around about Derek Carr, and Derek Carr is, like, the butt of these rookies' jokes, and they probably won't make the 53.
Can't respect them. Can't win with them.
I want winners.
Can't win with them.
Yeah.
Won't do it.
And then, like, the cringe factor reaches an extreme with me with Derek Carr's kids.
Oh, dude.
Because he's like, do we like the Broncos? The kid's like, no. It's like, do we like the Chargers? No. It's like, please blink twice if you're not allowed to talk freely right now.
Like, do we like the Chiefs?
Do we like the Chiefs? He's like, well, like, I mean, I kind of like Patrick Mahomes. I drafted him first. He's like, no, we don't like the Chiefs.
The Hard Knocks producer just cut that part out.
Yeah, they cut that part out. And then the other time, they're like, the kids are trying to tackle Derek Carr. It's like, the narrator on the show is like, there's one group that's allowed to hit the quarterback. It's like Derek
Leave Schreiber.
Derek Carr's kids.
Controversy?
Yeah, Derek Carr's kids, and Derek Carr's so cringy. He's like, maybe if you work together as brothers, as a team, like the Raiders are gonna do, please don't let Peterman start over me.
You know, it's a running joke, like Derek Carr is to this podcast. Rightfully so. I think that with, you know, all this exposure, he's kind of earned it. But at the same time, you think that he's just doing all this for the cameras. But is he like this all the time? Because dear God, if he is. If he's not just doing this for the cameras. Could you imagine being around someone like that? Like, just like, universally cringy?
Yeah, that's...
That sounds terrible.
Like, I really thought Jonathan Abrams was going to be like that. He toned it down a ton. I think he,
watched this episode one.
Right, yeah. So, good for him for toning it down.
Good for him for recognizing, like, oh, okay.
All right, now we go to our Twitter trend. Zach, you're going to be back in the fold because I want to talk to you about Ohio State. Ohio State fans love to be mad about where they're ranked. And right now, preseason AP top 25, they're ranked 5. So right now, if the season ended before it started, controversial because Ohio State's left out of the playoff picture. Right? You're mad?
Tate Martell is not walking through those doors.
Yeah. My boy. Tate Martell is Zach's boy, September 1st, 2018 tweet.
Look it up.
Yeah, so...
Gonna give Dwayne Haskins a run for his money, quotes, December 31st, 2017.
Look it up, but not before
you following us.
Did I say gonna or could give Dwayne Haskins a run for his money?
I'm gonna say gonna. Gonna. You said gonna. But are you mad Ohio State ranked 5th?
Not necessarily because, I mean, with the whole question mark surrounding Justin Fields, whether he's gonna be great, I mean, you know, quarterbacks usually end up doing pretty well at Ohio State. All signs point to Ryan Day being, you know, a good quarterback coach. But, you know, it's really hard to really get into the whole AP poll when that's not the one that matters.
Is it the coaches that matter?
No, it's the college football playoff poll voted on by Condoleezza Rice and her colluding group. But
see, I don't think there's any reason to be mad at 5. I mean, right. five, you have a new quarterback, new head coach. I mean, like, that's why, like, there are Ohio State fans who are mad that they're
just glad
5.
We didn't get sanctions for what happened last year.
But how could you be mad about being at 5 when you have all these new things? And it's like, there's other teams who are not ranked that people are just like Wisconsin, like, for instance.
Like, even here locally, UC is out of the top 25 and they went 11-2 last year.
Yeah, it's like, how can you be mad at 5? I mean, like that, there's such a big gap between like the hardcore college fans, and that's why I like the NFL better, because it's like, oh, if Ohio State loses one game, the season's over. It's like, what are you rooting for?
Well, I only brought it up because I think Ohio State fans just love to be mad at something when like they're ranked lower than, like, if it was up to them to be ranked number one, even though like last year they were in the playoff hunt and they had lost by like 30 something to Purdue.
Yeah. It just ruins the fanship of the game.
Like you mentioned with liking NFL more than college, because like I get the whole thing, like football's back, and you know, last Saturday was the last Saturday without college football for like the rest of the year until mid-January, until the national championship, obviously. But then it's like these first 3 weeks are just like, they're such a tease, because you don't really know how good your team is when they're beating a Division II team 77-7.
Ohio State opens up the season opener, one of the most anticipated, you know, biggest question marks on a season against Florida Atlantic. And you know, I would much rather watch two teams in the NFL that I don't care about versus, you know, Ohio State, who I love, playing this no-name team. You know, it doesn't get exciting until they get into the Wisconsins, the Michigan States, the Iowas, and obviously, you know, Michigan, before, you know, the college football really gets interesting, because, you know, they don't have an interesting out-of-conference game like the home-and-home with Oklahoma.
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. Even the, you know, a couple years ago when they played UC, like they just, there's no you know, flashiness to the out of conference this year.
And September 7th, they play UC at home this year.
I'm the biggest UC.
They do
fan,
biggest UC. They fan, do play. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Play UC at
hey,
home.
Listen.
Very exciting.
If Ohio State loses that game to Cincinnati,
they have to eat 9 hot dogs.
I'll get a tattoo.
If Ohio State loses to UC, you'll get a tattoo. Yeah. So you're rooting to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
But what are you gonna get a tattoo of?
I kind of want to get a light bulb pointing up. Lighten up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know what one of my favorite all-time tattoo concepts are?
What is it? What?
Von Miller. You know, plays for the Broncos. I'm sure you heard of him.
Who?
Yeah, who? He went on, a tattoo evaluation. He was just talking to a reporter, and it's a turtle wearing a jetpack, meaning by any means necessary. And I thought that was the most genius concept for a tattoo.
That's good. I like, if I was an Eagles fan, the outline of the Philly special.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Their arm.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah.
But yeah, like when we get into these college football games, that's just like, it's just such filler these first couple weeks. There might be one game. Like last year there was like Notre Dame, Michigan was a good like week one game. But I just hate the concept of this system where, you know, if you lose in the first week of the season, okay, you can still kind of make up for it by beating ranked teams during the regular season. But if you're like Ohio State, you win every game, but you lose to Purdue and it's mid-October, if you might have lost to them at the beginning of the season, you might still be able to work your way to the college football playoff. And that's what I just can't stand about the system. It's like you lose one game. It's like Alabama could potentially win every game and lose the Iron Bowl to Auburn and slide 3 spots out when a Notre Dame and a non-conference, they don't have a conference.
Well, we're in the minority of this. We're like, you know, a lot of people, you know, that you meet will prefer college football.
Oh, a ton. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, most people that you meet.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. Like, but to me, you know, the Giants will sneak in at 9-7, you know, 2000, you know, shout out 2007, shout out 2011 as a wild card, go on and win the ship. I mean, like, it's any given Sunday and any team can win. That's what makes it so exciting. Where in college football, you really have those 4 teams that, I mean, maybe a 5 or 6 that you could see making the playoffs.
And potentially in the NFL, you could even lose 3 games in a row. It's like, okay, we get that 4th.
I mean, we saw Ohio State beat Auburn in 2014, when they won the national championship.
They beat Auburn?
Ohio State or
Alabama?
Alabama.
And they beat Alabama and won the national championship. That was as far as of an upset season in playoffs that you're going to get probably, or that we've had. And even then, like, Ohio State was like the 3rd or 4th ranked best team in the country. It's, you know, it's
right. I'm just ready for like it to be October or November and just be like, oh, like Ohio State on Twitter, just like, never forget this run by Zeke Elliott against Alabama.
Oh my God, I hate
comes
that.
Up about 80 times every fall.
Just oh my God, random week. Oh, I've already seen it like 3 or 4
times. Yeah, it's Ohio State game day. They're playing Miami, Ohio on September 21st.
Let's not forget this run.
Not forget when Zeke owned the whole state of Ohio and Alabama with 1 carry. But anyway, now we'll go to another Twitter trend that, you know, non-sports related. and it's Friends or Seinfeld. Zach, go.
I definitely gonna have to go with Seinfeld. Huge Larry David fan. Not a fan of Jerry Seinfeld's, you know, stand up itself is kind of boring, but just the writing on that show was fantastic. You never know where the episode's gonna go, and it usually ends up leading nowhere. You know, everybody says it's the show about nothing.
Right.
I you know, it's great, but for me, it definitely beats out Friends, because when it comes to Friends, for me, I feel like the Friends was to the '90s what Big Bang Theory is to you know, this generation. Yuck. Kind of lazy, yeah, lazy, surface level, easy, unintellectual comedy. So definitely gonna have to go with Seinfeld.
Well, neither could hold a candle to Young Sheldon, but the thing is I like Seinfeld too. I just, the storylines, like the messes they get in, and then just where it goes, you have no idea where it's gonna go, and then like suddenly Kramer gets involved, and he's just like, that, you know, he does his Kramer thing, and it's just perfect to me. Friends, I don't know. I admittedly did not watch a lot of Friends, and it just wasn't my show, and I don't like Phoebe.
Yeah, I think Phoebe grows on you. See, me personally, I'm going to take a left and go with Friends. I don't know. To me, I like Seinfeld. I like the story concepts. I didn't watch it a lot growing up, however, whereas Friends, I think, has a lot of more character development, so I kind of like that. Ross is my favorite character, and he's like everyone's most hated character, but I think that he's the funniest. Whatever, debate me, Phoebe's all right, I guess. She's kind of like annoying as shit a lot of the time. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Friends.
Yeah, another Twitter trend we won't get to right now, but it's Popeyes.
Yes.
Because that chicken sandwich is going off.
Oh, we need to make it one of our I need to grab my wife and head to PF Chang's.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, soon. That's going to be our Chargers tweet segment where we review where we ate, and it's all going to be Zach's talking food with Zach. and it moves. We're going to do Popeyes probably for the next episode. But now we go to who's Zach a fan of this week, because he jumps around. This little rabbit just hippity hops into each garden of fandom. And I'm going to go. Actually, Scotty, you start.
All right, I'm going to go with Stomach Pumps. After the game tonight, you could tell with Zach crawling from the stadium to where we are now, just walking to the podcast station. We almost had to roll Zach. So I think he's gained a little bit more of an appreciation to what hospitals and doctors do. When people, you know, might take a little bit more food than normal.
Zach, just give me a name. 7th pick. Who you taking? Go.
Quarterback. Fantasy.
Yeah.
Who? Go.
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. That's wrong, because you're taking Wilford Brimley, the guy who says diabetes, because you might want to get yourself checked out. A lot of calories consumed tonight. Not good for the brand, Zach. You're going to have a long road of recovery here.
Yeah, might lose a toe. We'll see.
Zach, we don't have a producer without us. You can't be making these risks. You got to tap out early, but good content. Follow us, The Hopeless Fan.
Right. James, look. Yeah. But Scotty, you have someone you're hopelessly a fan of this week.
I am, and I'm going to go with us. I'm hopelessly a fan of this podcast. Shameless plug, The Hopeless Fan, at Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You know, follow us, Facebook. But, you know, we have an experience with the podcast, do we not, fellas?
Yes.
Say that again.
We don't know a lot, okay, but we're people who I think know what we're talking about. People, we look for some advice. We tried to go in here with some guidance. We were told get a coach, or, you know, pay for these services, these consulting services, but we said fuck that. We're gonna go in blindly, because we believe our content is good and strong enough, and we're gonna make it, and this is gonna be good. And I believe in us. Shameless plug.
I believe in me. That's all of our mottos.
That's all.
We believe in me. We all believe in each other. And now,
ignoring the doubters.
Right. Because the doubters end up in the doghouse. But you also have someone that's in your doghouse, because you had a run-in with some cringiness outside of Hard Knocks.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah. So I actually went to go see Dave Landau, shameless plug, at a comedy club last night. And of course, I have to be sat next to the drunkest girl in the entire club. And it was a pretty nice scene. So, you know, this woman was pretty wasted at 7 p.m. on a Sunday.
Did Dave Landau have a mohawk?
He did.
He looks like the skaters at OU that I would always root for to, like, land a trick, but never did. They'd, like, just give up on their board halfway through. Sorry to interrupt you, but it just had to
No, be. You're right.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Yeah. They were always on South Green, just like skateboarding, and never actually completed a trick, and I was always rooting for them when I was walking to my class 15 minutes late.
I mean, he might have been that person.
He could have.
He might have been.
Okay, but you were at the show, and what happened?
So this, you know, get sat next to this drunken lady, and she of course, I get, you know, sat next to the most drunk girl. Classy environment. Really drunk lady. 7 p.m. on a Sunday. Like, what is you doing, honey?
Mm-hmm.
Like, go home and get some rest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, you know, the host is coming out there, and he's, you know, getting the crowd warmed up a little bit, and she stands up and to get attention from everyone. It's like, I have something to say.
Oh, no.
You know, because they were celebrating special occasions, and she's like, it's almost his birthday. And the host is like, oh, what's your name? He's like, it's Roy. He's like, when's your birthday, Roy? He's like, it's in 2 weeks. He's like, oh, really? Mine's in March. And she's like, really, like, confused and sloppy, and she's trying to raise her hand during the set, and she's going to be my doghouse of the week because she had to be carried out eventually. Didn't see that coming, did you? And she's just, she was called out by Dave Landau as soon as he hit the stage, actually. He's like, never ever have I seen 20 minutes into a show a man have to carry his bitch out.
Sheesh.
And I hate to use the word bitch, as he said, but I think we all kind of know that she has a meeting tomorrow, and it's double A.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. That's tough to beat, because I don't have a doghouse of the week, but that would be tough, because it's always – because you're sitting right there next to her, and that's so tough to just be like, please don't make me a part of – yeah, you got the hand up, like, oh, there's a divider here. Like, I can't cheat on her test because they have the folders up. I screwed in third grade because of that. But, yeah.
I was afraid of being called out I was afraid of her saying something to me because she was, like, trying to raise her hands, and she was, like, touching, and she was also...
Her craziness vacuum was going to suck you in.
Oh, yeah. You know how that happens, though? Yeah. Because...
People rope you in. Guilty by association.
Yeah.
I mean, people around her were just, like, looking and staring and seeing what was going on. I'm like, oh, no, you don't get me involved in this because I'm right near her. So, yeah, I didn't want any part of that. She was also... The dude that she was with, she was just turning around every so often and saying, like, you're a fucking asshole. I'm like, oh, no. Your friend. Out loud while these dudes were trying to do their comedy shtick.
I'm rooting for them.
I really hope they get the help.
It reminds me of that video that went viral last week of the chick beating up her her man on the airplane, and they both end up getting kicked off.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. But that girl was definitely more in trouble, at least. Yeah. And the guy wasn't. I mean, the guy was like, I'm suing you for it. She's like, what, bitch?
Yeah.
Safe to say you don't stand that girl.
I don't stand that girl.
But you do stand someone.
Yeah, that's Taysom Hill.
Mm.
That's the backup quarterback of the Saints. We talked about him a little bit last week as the dual threat.
Yeah.
Which, Zach, I think I brought up earlier in the episode how I think that you're kind of ignorant for that take for Nathan Peterman and Derek Carr. But I do think you're a genius in the take in the sense that the Saints should use the dual threat a little bit more with Taysom Hill because they have success. I think the true heir to Drew Brees in New Orleans is Taysom Hill, not Bridgewater.
Hot take. I don't have anything to back up that. So I didn't know, does Taysom Hill get like regular preseason snaps like a regular second or third string quarterback?
I mean, he got like 10 passes, threw for a touchdown, juked some dudes, stiff-armed some dudes. If Mike Vick and Cam Newton had a baby, it'd be Taysom Hill.
Mm. See, I think the same thing happens to Zach's Ravens because Trace McSorley, the perfect heir to Lamar Jackson when Lamar Jackson inevitably
future MVP Trace McSorley.
Future MVP Trace McSorley, even though you could probably run the Madden fake punt against McSorley and he might go 6-for-16 with 112 yards. He'd still throw a pick. But, God, I watched him that Penn State-Ohio State game last year. I wanted him to be good so bad.
I know, because I hyped him up to you,
mm-hmm.
and then he threw some bad passes.
Yeah. Remember, like, the 4th and 6, like, deciding play, and Penn State, like, ran a jet sweep or, like, a shotgun handoff. It was just bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. But, you know, someone, you know, your stand of the week, and mine has to be Josh Van Meter.
Mm.
Reds pinch hitter tonight. He put Zach over the edge. RBI single in the 9th inning. Zach, did you know who Josh Van Meter was before I just said his name?
Who?
Yeah, it's the RBI single. I was going to see how many Reds players Zach knew. Because Homer Bailey's not on the Reds anymore.
So oh, right.
He was at Homer's no-hitter.
Yeah, that. How can you not be a fan of baseball and you see a no-hitter? I guess that would make sense, right?
How can you not be a fan of baseball seeing how it went from 0 to 100 so fast with the excitement level?
Well, the only reason...
The whole place dead tonight? The whole place was dead for, 5 innings.
Yeah, the only reason it went 0 to 100 for me, though, was because there was stakes directly involved. If we had just gone to that game...
Just bet on baseball, then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Another stand of the week I have for directly relating to the game is the phrase, oop, excuse me.
Yeah.
because every old white man I run into
and me
and you
and me
and you and me.
If you worked in retail, basically you've done that.
And they're also they're not even close to you when you say it. You're just like
they just turn around and see you.
Yeah.
Oop. Yep. Oop. Oop. Squeeze. Oop. Let me just squeeze past you here.
Oh, sorry
let me
about
just
that,
sneak
sir.
By you.
Yeah.
Oop.
Oop. Right around you.
Oop.
To your
oop. Sorry.
Oop. On your left.
That's my stand of the week.
That's a good stand of the week. That Midwestern values, they don't go away.
No, they never.
You can take
never
the
do.
Midwestern values out of the Midwestern boy, but you can't take
the
boy
Midwestern boy
out of the Midwestern values of the boy.
I'm going to carve that into a piece of wood.
It's not bad. I butchered it, but it wasn't bad.
That sounds like a great walking stick.
Yeah, that's good. So now it's time. This is one of my favorite segments that we do, and that's the irrational reactions from NFL.com. So we pull up NFL.com. You see that we got 9 reactions right on the right side. You just read them real quick, give us your initial thought, and see what comes out. And Zach, you're going to start us off this week because you went third last week.
All right. You going to count me in?
I'll count you in, bud.
All right. Let's hit it.
17. 16.
3.
30. 29.
3. 2. 1. Go.
What we learned from 49ers win against the Broncos, Scotty still doesn't have a life. Antonio Brown filing another helmet grievance. This is the song that never ends. Elliot's agent calls Jerry Jones' joke disrespectful, but not nearly as disrespectful as hitting women.
Yeesh.
Winners and losers. Winston's up, Mariota's down, 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 and a burning ring of fire. Pat's Julian Edelman passes physical off NFI list, on NFL list. Gordon returns. What it means for Patriots offense? Probably another failed drug test. Preseason week 2 rookie grades, Kyler flunks test, has to retake second grade. Roundup, Fangio says lock fan injuries look mild, but not as mild as Broncos season. Seahawks rookie, wide receiver, Metcalf to have knee surgery. I feel you there, bud.
All right, Scott, you're batting second.
I'm going to butcher this.
Yeah, let's hear it. Ready? 5, 4.
Oh, man.
3.
No.
2.
I got this.
1.
What we learned from 49ers win against the Broncos. Jimmy Garoppolo down, elite Joe Flacco back. Antonio Brown filing second helmet grievance versus NFL. Ugh, Hard Knocks needed this. Elliot's agent calls Jerry Jones' joke disrespectful. What would be considered respectful about a joke? Winners and losers. Winston's up, Mariota's down. Mariota's always been down. It's about time. The last 3 years he's been down. Pat's Julian Edelman passes physical off NFI list onto my not fucking interested list. Gordon returns. What it means for Patriots offense. Probably good. I don't know. Preseason week 2, rookie grades. Kyler flunks test. I didn't know they gave PE tests in NFL. Roundup. Fangio says lock fan injuries look mild. Good. Yeah, it's good. Hawks rookie wide receiver Metcalf to have knee surgery. What?
For how long?
What? How long is the knee surgery?
What?
Yeah.
How long is the actual procedure itself?
I need to know more.
That was
clickbait.
Good. Yeah, that's good. I need to click on that. All right. Who's going to count me in?
Bring it home. Here we go. All
right.
5.
Do your plan once.
4. 3.
3.
2. 1.
Antonio Brown filing another helmet grievance. Helmet files grievance against Antonio Brown.
Ooh.
Elliot's agent calls Jerry Jones' joke disrespectful. Knock, knock. Who's there? Dak Prescott, $40 million. Winners and losers. Winston up. Mariota's down. Probably another fake injury. Pat's Julian Edelman passes physical. Off NFI list. Deemed too sexy in his physical. That's why he was on the NFI list. Gordon returns. What it means for Patriots offense. Why would the Patriots take offense to Josh Gordon returning? Preseason week 2, rookie grades, Kyler flunks tests, has to retake biology. Roundup, wide receiver Mike Evans misses practice Monday. Monday's practice misses Mike Evans. AB back with Raiders, agent responds to Mayock. Mayock gives agent a third round grade. Hawks rookie wide receiver Metcalf to have knee surgery, just grow more muscles there, you free.
2% body fat, right?
Yeah, that's true. Pat's Julian Edelman passes physical. No way Zach could pass a physical right now.
Zach, tough take.
Yeah. Zach's going to recover from just a brutal night where he gave it his all.
He's got the 2% body fat. I have the other 98.
Zach's going to go work on that.
We have fun.
Yeah, we do have fun. And we'll have fun next week, too, on the Hopeless Fan Podcast.